So here we pick up in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1, if you have your Bibles. Elisha replied, "Listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver." The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, "That couldn't happen, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven." That's a tough statement there. But Elisha replies, "You will see it happen with your own eyes, but you will be unable to eat any of it." Church, I just want to ask you one question this morning as we open up today's sermon, and hopefully you have some sermon notes. If not, you can jot down some notes. But I want to ask you, are you hearing from the Lord? Do you hear from the Lord? As we open up here in 2 Kings chapter 7, the confidence and the boldness that Elisha has is something that we should focus on for just a moment before we go deeper into this sermon. Elisha, for all purposes, he has a bounty on his head. The last remaining king wants him completely dead, wants to take his life. They're in a famine. Things are severe all around the nation. But before the king tries to completely wipe out Elisha, he wants to have this conversation with the prophet and man of God. And the first thing that comes out of Elisha's mouth, it's not panic, it's not fear, it's not doubt. Notice Elisha is not here trying to fend for his own life or livelihood. Instead, Elisha opens up here in the chapter and he replies to the king saying, "This is the message from the Lord, and this is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow." I think it's so important, and why I raised the first question. Elisha had a holy anointing, not only by God, but he also had an anointing to have courage in the word of the Lord. Because why? Because the prophet had spent time in the presence of the Lord, hearing from the Lord, and when he spoke, he had the authority and confidence that he could only gain by spending time hearing from God. And so, church, I want to ask you that question. Do you hear from the Lord? In order for us to have confidence in our faith and who God is, don't you think it would be important to spend time hearing what he has to say for us? This is the message of the Lord by this time tomorrow. You see, Elisha was not rational in his thinking. Elisha was not panicked. He was not fearful. He was not doubtful. It didn't necessarily make sense. He didn't hear from the Lord and then begin to try to rationalize, This seems mighty impossible. The city is on the brink of destruction. Literally, mothers are eating their children. People are dying in our streets. There is no food. The Bible says that the price of a donkey's head was going for over 80 pieces of silver that day. And here he is telling the king in this moment, by this time tomorrow, everything's going to change. He had some confidence. He had authority. An authority and confidence that could only come by hearing from the Lord. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It expresses and exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." You see, Elisha had heard from the Lord. 2 Kings 7:2, "The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, 'That couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven.'" So you have Exhibit A, the first man, the prophet from God, hearing from the Lord. And then Exhibit B is the king's right-hand man. It's one of his main captains for his army. So exhibit A has full confidence in what the Lord is saying. And then here's exhibit B saying that couldn't happen even if God showed up, even if God opened the windows of heaven above our nation and city. But this is what Elisha said. You will see it happen with your own eyes, but won't be able to experience any of it. You see, the king's right hand had a lot of unbelief that was creeping within his heart. And I promise you, church, you never want to be on the receiving end of a God can't statement. I always get really nervous when people start telling me what God can and cannot do. You know, I've seen God do some incredible things. But when God, when people start telling me, oh, well, God did it then, he can't do that today. That was good for the Bible, but it's not real relevant for today's culture. The word is outdated. It's not what God is trying to do today. You know, he did all these miracles. Maybe he'll do it for them, but God ain't going to do that for me. I always get really nervous when people start saying, I can't, or God can't do something. Because the only thing that I know that scripture teaches me in 2 Corinthians or 2 Timothy 2:13 is that God can't deny who he is. When it comes to what God can't do, the Bible says if we are unfaithful, God remains faithful because he can't deny who he is. You following me? So the only scripture, the only biblical reference that I have in what God can't do is that God can't be unfaithful to the promise that he's spoken over your life. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Can I just encourage you with that word today? Maybe you've been struggling with doubt or fear or timidity in your life. But you know, the Bible tells us that God didn't give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of sound mind and courage. You can have courage and confidence today that he who promised is faithful to his word. If I can be honest, even when I make those statements and me even being here preaching, it would be untrue if I told you that every moment and every season of my life, I always have 100% perfect confidence that everything's gonna work out. If I can be honest and transparent with you today, I don't always feel how I believe. Can I be real? Sometimes I don't wake up in the morning and feel like everything is just gonna work out great. Sometimes I wake up and I feel tired. And I'm worried, and sometimes a little stressed. Come on. Especially when you have a 5'3 and 1-year-old all running around. Sometimes I wake up and I'm stressed about circumstances that I have no control over. Now, I 100% unequivocally believe that God has my best interest in mind. I'm just not always interested in some of the seasons he wants to put me through because they're not always easy, even though I know with God it's gonna work out. But sometimes I'm just not interested in hearing all the different trials and tribulations I might have to walk through for me to get to the promise that God has for me. Which is why probably God doesn't always spell out exactly what he's wanting to do in our life. You see, but I believe that God delivers. Even though I don't always feel like everything is working out in the moment, but I know that I've been delivered, and I know that I've been saved, and I know that I've been redeemed. Well, Pastor Gabe, how do you know that? Well, if you would have known me before, I really dedicated my life to God. And you see me today, you would know that God's performed some miracles. I wonder if there's any people in the room today that can testify that God has saved you and delivered you and redeemed you and restored your marriage and touched your body and just expressed a favor. You shouldn't have the business or the job that you have, but you have it. Come on, somebody. You see, I thank God that I've learned in my faith and in my walk with the Lord and coming to church and hearing sermons and getting around some good people. I'm thankful that I've learned to not trust my heart, but I've learned to trust in the Lord. In simple terms, church, I've learned that it doesn't matter how I feel. What matters is that I keep my trust and my faith in the Lord. You see, my faith and trust is not based off of what I'm always seeing, but I've learned to trust in the Lord. I may not like my situation, I may not like my circumstance, but I do know that I've got a God that is for me and has a plan to prosper me and is working all things out together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Friends, our hearts are wicked. Jeremiah 17:7 says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. If I can encourage you with anything today, it's to put more faith in Christ. We may have faith, but as simple as this sounds, our faith just needs a little bit more faith. Faith can start out small, like the size of a mustard seed. But if you've ever seen a mustard seed, it grows into one of the largest trees in the garden. And if I could be honest, I find that sometimes when I'm struggling in certain seasons, it's not that I don't have faith, it's that I haven't been as intentional as I should be with my faith. You see, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. There are requirements of faith. Faith may just initially start out very small, right? Right. The Bible says that all we need is the size of a faith, the size of a mustard seed. You can tell that mountain to move and it'll move, right? You can do incredible things with just a small bit of faith. But the truth is that faith can't stay that small forever. And there are some requirements to our faith. When we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and we read in verse 3, we find that there are four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates, and they're having this conversation, and they're saying, why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked each other. We will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So if we stay here, we die. If we go back, we're going to die, because they're going to die anyway. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, amazing. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway. They're on this incredible crossroad three ways. If I stay here, I die. If I go back to the city, which they couldn't get in anyway because they were lepers, they were going to die and stay casted out. And if they go to the enemy's camp and surrender, maybe they get saved or maybe they die. But for these four lepers, for them, they said, you know what? What do we have to lose? Everything to gain, really nothing else to lose. These men were dejected and denied by society because of their disease. You see, leprosy not only marked them as outcast, but also sentenced them to death. Realizing their desperate situation, they took a bold step of faith. They reasoned amongst themselves, saying, why sit here until we die? Their faith spurred them to action, seeking a breakthrough beyond the city walls. You see, sometimes your faith requires action. Sometimes your faith is going to require you to make bold and risky decisions that you may not be able to rationalize in the moment and season of your life. But what I find that if we can be intentional with our faith, if we want our faith to grow, then our faith is going to require more action. You see, the lepers took a step of faith and God honored their courage. Likewise, we must step out in faith even when it feels uncomfortable, church, even when it feels like the situation is dire or uncertain, knowing that God will still meet us there. Why? Because we can have full faith and confidence and trust that God, who's promised it to us, is going to see the promise come to fulfillment in our lives. If you're taking notes, the second thing that faith requires is faith requires overcoming fear. Some may say these four lepers didn't have anything to really be afraid of because they had already chalked it up that they were going to die no matter what. Sometimes we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place. And sometimes we feel like there is no hope in the situation. Sometimes we feel like every variable, every person, our bosses, our friends, our family, the situation, the circumstance, we look at all of these different variables and find ourselves between a difficult place and a hard place, a rock and a hard place. But can I just encourage you that you can choose to not be in either of those places despite still seeing it and despite still being there, but your mind and your heart and your spirit can be in your trust in the Lord. You can be between a difficult season and a hard season, but still have joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord, come on, is my strength. When I put my faith in who God is, it can change who I am despite the circumstance or despite the situation. One of the biggest things that we need to realize is that if we're intentional, your faith can grow to outweigh your fears. Sometimes as believers, we allow fear to paralyze us. And we allow fear to keep us where we're at because of the fear of uncertainty, the fear of failure, and for these men, the fear of dying. But if we're intentional with our faith and we get around some people who have faith and we pray and we seek the Lord and we keep consistent in the house of the Lord, I promise you, your faith will grow and it'll overcome those fears that you have, church. The third thing that faith requires is the hand of God. Now, that may seem really simple, but in all trueness, my faith can't be just predicated on a situation. My faith and my trust is all in the Lord. And faith requires the hand of God. My faith is not that a situation can change. My faith is that God can change my situation. If the situation goes 180 and all my faith was on that circumstance, then a lot of times the situation will dictate the direction of my faith. But if all of my faith is on the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, if my faith is in the God who created everything, who holds the entire universe in his hands, then whatever direction he goes, there my faith can go. Whatever God does, my faith can do. Whatever God is gonna say, I can trust. I can take that promise to the bank any day of the week because my faith is not circumstantial. My faith is in the goodness and faithfulness of who God is. Faith requires the hand of God. I want you to write this down. You see, when you begin to pray and seek the Lord and you're in rhythm with what God is trying to do, I love what Pastor Tyler talked about during his ministry time. Sometimes it can be frustrating not knowing the will of God for your life. And so we testify of his goodness and we share the stories of what God has done so that we can be encouraged knowing that if God did it in your life, he can do it in you. If God did it over there, he can move on this, right? He doesn't discriminate based on what side of the room or whether you're front or back of the room. Come on. If God's moving in this person's life, if he did it then, he can surely do it again. And so what happens is when we grow in our faith, we learn to pray more, we learn to say less, and we learn to trust and let God do the rest. Come on, if you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. Are there any seasoned saints in the house of God this morning that have learned to put their situations and circumstances before the feet of God? They've learned how to pray through seasons. They've learned how to seek the Lord and tarry at the altars of Christ. They've learned how to fast. They've learned how to go after God. Come on, when you pray more, you realize that you don't have to say as much because you can trust that God is going to do what he needs to do in your life in his perfect timing. Can somebody say amen? Amen. You see, David penned Psalms 27 verse 1. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident." Church, we can have an incredible, confident hope that God is working for us, that God has your back. And church, we need to share that same confident hope. In 2 Kings 7, verse 9, it says, finally, they said to each other, after the lepers entered into the camp, after they got the gold and they saw the silver and the clothes and the food and all the resources that the enemy army had completely abandoned. Because you have to realize that when the lepers decided to leave and they approached the enemy's camp, God had created a great confusion amongst the Aramean army. He had caused them to hear chariots and mighty armies coming, even though nobody was there. You see, it didn't make sense to the Aramean army, but they didn't have time to make sense of it. They reacted based on what they were hearing, and they fled their camp, abandoning their siege against Samaria and leaving all of their treasures to be plundered. And here these four diseased, sickly, lepery men are walking. Lepery, I just made that up. These men who were leprous are walking into the enemy's camp, and they see all of these things, and they're saying, could this be? Only if they knew the word of the Lord, the prophet had spoken. By this day tomorrow, everything's gonna change. By this time tomorrow, God can restore your marriage. By this time tomorrow, God can heal your body. By this time tomorrow, you can get that raise. By this time tomorrow, whatever you feel like is impossible, God can make possible. I can't come and tell you that God can't do something, because I know that God is faithful. I know that God is true. I know that God is working things together for those who love him. And if God said it, God will see it through completion. And here these men are, and they're enjoying all of these blessings. And then they come to this revelation and they say, this is not right. This is a day of good news and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come, let us go back and tell the people at the palace. You see, when we share what God has given us, we open the door for him to pour out even more. That's why we testify. That's why we sit here and we share what God is doing all around our community. Because when we share in that good news, come on, when we share in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only have we seen God move in our life, but when we testify, we know that God will move in your life. The Bible says in Revelation that Satan was defeated by what? The power of the blood of the Lamb and by the power of their testimony. Is anybody in church that can testify of the goodness, of the power, of the healing, of the provision, of the restoration of God? Come on. If God did it then, he can do it again. You see, when David wrote Psalms 27, David had some receipts. See, in church, surely I know there are some people in this room who have some receipts of what God has done. You see, when we have receipts and a recollection of what God has done in our past, then we can hold on to that knowing that if God did it then, he can do it again today. And for those who have not encountered that yet, you can hear the testimonies and you can hear the encouragement in the room and know that just because it hasn't happened yet, just because your circumstances hasn't changed yet, God can still do it tomorrow. You see, you didn't know how things were going to turn out, but God did. You didn't know if you were going to make it, but God did. You didn't know where you were going to get your next meal or paycheck, or if the shoes were going to last another week, but God did. You didn't know how you were going to end up in the hospital, if you were going to make it out, but God did. You see, we don't have to know, because God knows. And our faith is, I didn't say that one of our requirements was knowing. Our requirement of faith is taking action and trusting. It's not knowing what's going to happen. It's knowing that despite whatever happens, I know that God is going to take care of me. Can somebody say amen? Amen. My last point today is God did. The Bible says in verse 10, they went back to the city and told the gatekeepers what had happened. We went out to the Aramean camp and they said no one was there. The horses and donkeys were tethered and the tents were all in order, but there wasn't a single person around. Then the gatekeeper shouted the news to the people in the palace. The king got out of bed in the middle of the night and told his officers, I know what has happened. The Arameans know that we are starving, so they have left their camp and have hidden in the fields. See, it's hard when you're trying to rationalize everything in your own mind. You see, he says they knew we are starving. It's a trap. They are expecting us to leave the city, and they will take us alive and capture the city. And one of his officers replied, "We had better send out scouts to check into this. Let them take 5 of the remaining horses. If something happens to them, it will be no worse than if they stay here and die with the rest of us." So the Bible says 2 chariots with horses were prepared. The king sent scouts to see what had happened. They went all the way to the Jordan River, following a trail of clothing and equipment that the Arameans had thrown away in their mad rush to escape. Don't tell me what God can't do. The scouts returned and told the king about it. Then the people of Samaria rushed out and plundered the Aramean camp. And so it was true that 6 quarts of choice flour were sold that day for 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1 piece of silver, just as the Lord had promised. The king appointed his officer to control the traffic at the gate, but he was knocked down and trampled to death as the people rushed out. So everything happened exactly how God had said it. Don't tell me what God can and cannot do. You have to have faith. You have to have trust. We got to have a little bit of belief in this room and confidence that God can do exactly what he said he's gonna do. And the one guy in the room who didn't believe exactly what was said was gonna happen happened. You see, the king assumed he understood what was happening. He thought the day was going to end in disaster, but he didn't realize who my God is. He thought the city was going to end in failure, but he don't know who my God is. See, God can do more with the few of you, with the little that you have, than what we can accomplish alone, even with the vast resources at our disposal. God doesn't need much. He just needs you to be faithful with a little. Matter of fact, I'm going to invite the band to come and join me. When they come and the lepers are screaming and saying, "Look what's happened," the king doesn't believe it. And somebody wise enough in the room speaks up and says, "Hey, let's send some scouts to go and check it out." And what does the king reply? I want you to follow me. The king says, "Let's send our last remaining 5 horses and 2 chariots." 5 horses and 2 chariots. Now, you might think that doesn't mean a lot, but when you're in the entire kingdom, all you have left is 5 horses. If the enemy comes, you have no way to leave if you send your 5 horses off and it's a trap and they get killed. So what is the king saying, right? I mean, we're dead either way. So let's take the little to find out what God, if this is true. 5 horses, 2 chariots. I remember this story in John chapter 6 I heard one time where Jesus is on the hillside and there's thousands of people crowding around him because they've heard of his power and his miracles. And Jesus, the Bible says, has compassion towards them. And one of his disciples, you know, Jesus says, "Hey, get some bread, let's get some food, let's feed all these people." And Philip, one of his disciples, is saying, "Well, God, Jesus, if we work all year, it's not enough to cover the cost to feed all of these people." 5 horses, 2 chariots. See, the Bible says that Jesus was testing Philip because he already knew what he was going to do. And maybe some of us are in this room and we've been struggling with our faith and having boldness and courage. Maybe we've been doubting what the word of the Lord it really is for our life. And sometimes we think we're too broken, we're too far, and we don't have enough for God to do what he says he's gonna do. Maybe you feel like your church attendance isn't up to par, or you're you know, you don't worship as good as everybody does in the front, or whatever lie you've been telling yourself or the enemy's been telling you. God can do more with the little that you have, as long as you can trust him and have confidence in him. 5 horses and 2 chariots. Fast forward to the New Testament. Here's Jesus. And they're saying, how are we going to do this, Jesus? And then one of the other disciples comes and says, you know, here's this little boy. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. 2 Kings 7, somebody's like, even if God opens up heaven, this can't be done. John chapter 6, one of the disciples is like, even if we worked all year, this is impossible. But Jesus says, give me what you got. When I'm involved, give me the little that you have and watch me do this miracle. Give me the little faith. Give me a little confidence. Give me a little boldness. Give me a little courage. Give me a little of what you got. And watch what Jesus can do. They didn't know, but God did. Let's stand to our feet all across this room. Sometimes we just can't comprehend it well. Sometimes it's really difficult for us to rationalize in our human thinking. But I've got receipts, y'all. I've seen God do impossible things. I've seen God rescue. I've seen him save. I've seen marriages restored. I've seen drug addicts get completely clean overnight. I've seen alcoholics give it up in 10 minutes. I've seen those who were sick be raised out of a hospital bed. When the doctor said it was impossible and they were dead, make them comfortable. I've seen them in the house of the Lord worshiping. Anybody got receipts in the room? Maybe you're in this room today and again, you've been struggling with your faith, or you feel like just you don't have enough for God to do something great with. I just want to tell you that's such a lie. Don't tell yourself that, and don't let the enemy keep you thinking like that. Come and give God the little that you have, and let's allow God to do the miracles that he wants to do, whether it makes sense or not. Amen? Come on, if you're in this room and you've got a lot of faith or a little bit of faith, and you're just believing for God to continue to move in your life, or you need a touch, I just want to encourage you. Would you join me up front? Can we worship God? Can we surrender to the Lord? Can we raise our hands? Let's come down. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. Let's ask. Let's invite Jesus into our situation. Let's invite God into our circumstance this morning.